T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. Been a long time since we've had Jed Hoyer on the Parkinson Spiegel show. He's kind enough to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jed, thanks so much for making the time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're good.
We're doing well. Yeah, we'll get some football picks out of you before we get out of here. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah, it was a whole different show then. It was Spiegel and Parkins. Things have changed drastically, Jed, as you can tell.
It's very different.
Yeah, completely different.
Yeah, so nice time to catch you. Four-game win streak, won a few series in a row, and probably the most fun night at the ballpark to date so far last night, would you say?
Yeah, that was one of those nights you sort of like can't wipe the smile off your face. And you know, as cliche as it sounds, it's sort of, you know, one of those nights you like remind you like why you put in all the work and, you know, the money you invest in scouting and player development and all those things. Like, you know, obviously intellectually you know why you do it, but it's nice to be kind of reminded emotionally sometimes why you do it. And that's, you know, watching those two kids, you know, talking to them earlier in the day when they're about to make their debut, and just thinking, you know, what that has to be like for, you know, two kids have overcome a lot to be in the big leagues, and then watching them really dominate in their debuts and have these incredible moments, and then also the crowd as well. There's not many places, if any, in baseball where I think the fans are as in tune with what's happening and the way they received, you know, Brandon, and obviously the standing, you know, everyone stood up when it was 3-2 for Morel. And that just doesn't happen in other places. And, it was a really electric environment, and like I said, it was just one of those nights you can't wipe the smile off your face after the game.
So much focus on the lower levels of the system, Jed, but maybe more guys are close that we're not thinking about. He had 15 debuts last year. So far now, 4 debuts this year. If we set the number on like 8.5 for MLB debuts for the Cubs, how's that line? Like, are there more coming?
Is everything gambling related now?
Yeah, pretty much. That question, by the way, was brought to you by the fine folks at DraftKings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that the more guys that we can come up here that can be part of our future, the better. And I think we've got some good stories happening right now in the minors. A lot of good stories, in player development. And yeah, some of those guys are a ways off, but yeah, I think that the upper levels are doing well. And you know, I think one of the things we're sort of most proud of right now is that, you know, I think all 4 levels are really performing well and have a number of players, not only is the team playing well, but a number of players at each level that are really having breakouts, and that's what you need. And obviously the two guys that we brought up last night, I think, you know, what Morel has done this year in AA, and obviously what Hughes has done at 2 levels is really special. And, you know, you like guys to get rewarded when they perform like that.
So do performances like that reverberate then beyond the big league club? Like, they're talking about that at Iowa and beyond, I'd imagine, today?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think I've heard from several affiliates already that, you know, everyone was watching in the locker room after the game. And I was talking to Alex Suarez, who was in the Dominican, and they were all talking about it today. So I think no question. And yeah, if you're at a lower level in the minor leagues and you see, you know, what Chris Morel did, and you know, you watch it, you see his trajectory through the system, and you realize you can get rewarded by, you know, putting on a lot of weight, working hard in the weight room, and really, like, you know, having a breakout season. I think that adds motivation, you know. And I think that it's a closer knit group than you might even imagine, because, you know, these guys are all doing winter programs together. They're all, they're all in spring training together. So, you know, everyone in the organization knows Chris Morrell. He's gregarious and talks to everybody. And so, you know, that's kind of everyone's friend that's doing that. I think not only are they thrilled for him, but I think it makes him realize that it's a reality.
How closely connected, Jed, is the development at those lower levels with what your mindset is in terms of when the big league club will be competitive again? You've talked about, the bones of a championship team. That's the next time you might spend, that kind of thing. How is that connected to the development at the levels?
Yeah, I wouldn't say too much. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of talent in the lower levels. But, you never know how long development takes. You know, there are some guys that shoot through the system incredibly quickly and there's no breaks. And there's other guys that might have to repeat a level or they have an injury. And so I think relying on a certain group of prospects in your system, I think is really difficult. And I think what we saw here, the first time that, we went through this and, kind of 13 or 14 when the minor leagues were getting so good, those were pretty exceptional performances. I don't think you see that very often when, guys like, Bryant and Schwarber, after 2016, Happ, or, even like, Addison Russell and Javi and Soler, those guys moved pretty quickly and without a lot of hiccups through the minor leagues. They had, they had some hiccups in the big leagues and we had to, make some adjustments once they got here. But on the way up through the minor leagues, those guys really didn't have many hiccups. And I think that's rare. I think you have to assume that, most guys at some level will struggle for the first time, which I think is good, and have to make some adjustments.
Jed Hoyer is our guest. Morrell in the lineup tonight, by the way, batting eighth and playing third base for the Cubs against the Pirates. Now to the big league club, not that those guys weren't last night, obviously. Wilson Contreras is having the best year of his career at 30 years old, but like anything, it's hanging over some conversation that we've been having about him. He's a free agent. He says he doesn't want to negotiate in season. So I've been saying to the Cubs fans in our audience, like, brace yourself. You should prepare based on how last year's deadline went. Like, Wilson's going to be traded. There's no reason really to believe anything else. Am I missing something in that conversation?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I don't really want to speculate on any of that. I think that, we've plenty of, time to talk about the deadline. I think all of our focus every day is on this team and on our development. And, we never talk about, extensions in season. I would just say, listen, I think Wilson's having an unbelievable year. I love what he's doing offensively. His approach has been fantastic. I do think, and this is a compliment to Wilson. I think Jan has really helped him, and I'm glad that we were able to bring him in because I think he's been able to be a little bit more rested. I think we've kind of run Wilson into the ground in a couple of years, and I think his offensive production has tailed off when we've done that. And I think that obviously he's such a competitor and he wants to play all the time, and so of course he doesn't feel like he's tired, but I think as his legs go. I think his back can go sometimes. So the addition of Jan, I think you're seeing a fresher Wilson, and I think that's really showing up. So, I mean, thrilled to have him here. I wouldn't speculate on contract stuff, and I definitely wouldn't speculate on trade stuff either.
So, I assume you guys have done, like, the comparative analysis, though, of, like, spending on a catcher at 30, as we do as amateurs. You guys are way ahead of us. Like, looking at the Posey deal, or the JT Realmuto deal, or the Joe Mauer deal, or Yadier Molina twice. Like, it can be a risky thing. Does Wilson's positional flexibility change that conversation for you?
I mean, I think, obviously, Wilson, like, the bat this year has been really special. I think that's obviously something you take into account. But, I mean, I think, I think obviously we do all our research. I think that, that's our job and, we focus on it. But as far as, I don't want to talk about it on a radio show, like how we view it. I'll just say, like I said, he's having a really special season. And like little things like last night, it was so fun to watch how excited he was for Chris Morrell. You couldn't really help but think of Wilson's home run himself. But I also know how much he cares about Chris. And I just think, it kind of shows how big his heart is. It was a really nice thing to see.
You mentioned, last time when you were going through like 13 and 14, it was kind of, for lack of a better term, and might not have felt like this in the moment, but it was kind of clean. Like, we knew what the blueprint was, struggle at the big league club. you accumulate the great assets, the high draft picks, you develop them, you have success in the minors, you bring them all up together, you see the future.
Everybody right? can do it. 5 years, win a World Series.
It was so easy, right, Jed? It was easy. But this time, at least in the talking to the Cubs fans that we've been doing, it doesn't – I think there's maybe a little bit more confusion in like what the plan is. Like Stroman, 3-year deal signifies pretty short window. Suzuki chooses the Cubs, crazy exciting. Rumors of Correa recruitment. And then all these different things with prospect rankings and lower level guys acquired and all of that. Like, can you clarify, elucidate, whatever, like the plan and the path towards competitiveness? Because genuinely, I do think some Cubs fans are not having the clarity that they had last time.
Yeah, I think first of all, you said it. I certainly last time was not easy,
right.
But it was to your point, clean. And I think some of that speaks to the talent of the players we had. I think some of that speaks to the league being a little bit different at that time. You know,
yep.
Pitching certainly wasn't what pitching is now. I think, you know, breaking in 4, 5, you know, 6 young hitters at the same time, a lot easier to do in 2015 than it is now. I think with just the quality of pitching and the, you know, you never see a guy a third time in a game unless he's throwing a gem and think, you know, or it's an ace and. It's a very different environment in that regard. So I think to myself, like, you know, what we did last time and the plan we executed last time was based on a lot of thought, based on baseball in 2013, 14, 15. Now, obviously now, the landscape has changed. And so I think I said all along, like the goal here, you know, we want to compete. We want to put a good team on the field. We also very much, given where we felt our farm system was before, where our players were age-wise, we realized that, you know, we need to really focus on the future. We need to build up our farm system. We need to focus on how do we build that great team again. I think we had a great team. We had made the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, and we had a 3-year run where we were in the NLCS 3 times. And, you know, that should be the goal, is to get back to competing for a World Series every year. And sometimes to do that, I think you do have to keep one eye towards the future. So, you know, last year, the deadline, we made the decision to make those trades. And when we did make those trades, I think that did signal, you know, of course, we have one eye on the future. We're trying to build that next great Cubs team. It doesn't mean every single offseason we're not trying to find players that can fit that window. We're not trying to find players that can help be part of that next great Cubs team. I think, you know, I think last time, that probably wasn't the case the entire 12, 13, 14 period. I think now, you know, very much, I think, you know, like I said, you have to build it differently each time. I'd love to, you know, we'd love to compete. I'm thrilled with how the team's played for the last 10 days, but, you know, we are going to make moves with an eye towards the future because we want to build something special.
Well, that's interesting, because I think that's what makes it kind of confusing, is that it was pretty clear that it was like, all right, let's build it up and then we'll spend when we're ready. And a lot of teams have done that. But what has changed in the environment that changes that thought process, that maybe it's now a free agent of consequence here or there while also having an aggressive developmental mindset? What has changed in the environment around the game that is affecting you like that?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things, some that I'll keep to myself, some that, you know, I would talk about. But I do think that, I think it's a little bit more challenging now with the way the game is played. I think that, you know, we didn't feel like you can kind of, you know, build, you know, amass that kind of talent and then, you know, kind of snap your fingers and spend all at once. I think we're going to have to, you know, find players, really good players. You know, I think Marcus Stroman and Suzuki were two, you know, two elements of that, where guys we feel like are really talented. We felt really good about the contracts, you know, given their age, and we feel like they can definitely be part of a group that, you know, that wins here. And I think, you know, sort of trying to do everything at once, I think, can be really difficult. So, like I said, I don't think there's anything contradictory in saying that we want to build a competitive team each off season. But I also think, like, we have got to have that eye on the future, because we don't want to do things that will inhibit us, building something great. I think that, you know, if you look at the contracts and the age that we, you know, to Stroman and Suzuki, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Jed, Steven Nelson came on The Score and said that you guys were really close on Correa. And I got so excited. I'm like, oh my God, really? That's amazing. And he's like, but it fell apart because he changed agents. And so they made a huge offer and it like never even really landed on his proverbial desk. And I was like, what? The story doesn't make any sense. Is there any truth there? Can you, I know it's weird. He's on another team now, but I feel like because this goes to free agency, I think this is okay here. What the hell can you explain about what may or may not have happened this offseason with regards to that story?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and I don't like commenting on stuff like this, but I can tell you that's not accurate.
Okay.
There was nothing to change based on the agent changing.
Okay. That type of signing, you know, I think, and we've talked about this in the past, like, you guys became a little bit of a victim of your own success. Cubs fans are impatient now. You know, they don't know, okay, so it's changed with some of the rules and the draft picks and tanking incentives. And so, like, they want to know, like, all right, 2023, playoff expectations. But that's just a tough thing to commit to right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, listen, I think Cubs fans, you know, should be impatient. You know, I think that when we got here in the fall of 2011, I think there was a lot of patience. And I think there's a lot of patience because, you know, every 13 years or so, the Cubs made the playoffs. And
right.
I think they felt like, hey, if you guys can, you know, you kind of promise you're going to build something really special, then we're willing to wait and we're okay if you guys are, you know, at the bottom of the barrel for a couple of years. And that's totally changed. I think that, you know, the success we had from 15 to 20, you know, to 2020, I think that changed our fan base. And I think that's fantastic. I mean, I think that in some ways, I think that might be, you know, the best accomplishment that Theo can kind of put on his resume is that we were able to do that. And so, yeah, is that part of our mindset and why things are, I do think we have to do things a little bit differently this time. Yes, absolutely. Because I do think that our fan base's expectation has changed based on the success we had. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think we shouldn't fight against that. We should accept that.
So you embrace that as urgency to accelerate a timeline, however you can.
Yeah. I mean, my goal when I sort of go to bed at night or wake up in the morning or go in the office, like, you know, my focus is, you know, obviously we're going to have with different players, different names, et cetera. But, you know, my goal is to, you know, recreate what we just did. You know, I think we had a run of a ton of success and we had a group of players that, you know, our fans grew to love. And you know, that's my goal is to recreate that, build something really special. So I don't want to detract from that, but I do understand the urgency now in 2022 is different than it was in 2012.
Yeah. So with all this in mind, it's interesting to think about. Do you need internally to have well-defined competitive goals next year, 2023, to dictate the moves that you make this season? Do you need to know how you think about yourself next season?
Well, I think it's really important to always be tethered to reality. Right. I think that, you know, one of the things in this game that's super important is understanding where you are competitively and, you know, where you project and, you know, hope isn't a business model. You know, you have to be tethered to the numbers and know, okay, this is the quality of our team right now. This is, if we spend money on these players, this is where we'll be. I mean, those are things where you're not going to share with the public all the time. I think exactly where we project ourselves, but I think it's incredibly important. And, you know, something I learned, you know, going back to my earliest days with the Red Sox, that, you know, knowing your own team and knowing your own talent and you know, making decisions accordingly, you know, may be as important as anything. So I think you have to be tethered to how good you are. I think that when I look back on 2015, you know, one of the things about 2015 that is so wonderful is that, you know, we so far exceeded our projections. We thought that by adding Lester and Dex and Miguel Montero, we thought we were starting the beginning of something really special, but we thought, okay, like we're probably going to, you know, be a competitive team, hopefully mid 80s, maybe high 80s if everything comes together this year. And we dramatically exceeded that. And that's what makes that kind of season so special. But by and large, I think, you know, most seasons end up, you know, not that far from where you project it because, you know, people don't want to talk about it that openly. Baseball is very analytical. And I think there's a pretty good sense of, you know, when you factor in the true talent of a team and you factor in injuries, then you have a good sense of kind of where you'll wind up. And I think that's the most important thing. So internally, we have to say, stay tethered to reality and understand like what certain moves would do. And if those set of certain moves can push us to, you know, contend for the division, then that's something you have to talk about. But you don't want to do things by hope. You want to do things, you know, based on the numbers and based on, you know, the true belief of where your talent is.
It seems like there's a lot of complicated sort of cross purposes that a manager has to deal with on a day-to-day when you're in this position. Like, all right, let's try out some people over here, but let's play this young kid over here and hope he develops. And also we have this guy and let's try to win a game. Is there a point where that shifts, where maybe you want to see the young talent with a chance to develop as opposed to the veteran that kind of, you know what you have? Is there a point in the calendar that in your mind that changes?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that you also have to have a sense that young player is prepared to handle, you know, what's being thrown at him in the big leagues. You know, I think that especially with the way pitching in the big leagues is now, kind of going back to that, you have to have a real sense that someone can handle it, and that, you know, simply throwing a guy out there for 250 plate appearances and hoping can actually be damaging. And so you have to make sure that they're ready. But yeah, I think that, and I think Rossi does a brilliant job, and his staff does too, of understanding that, you know, listen, there's times when we're going to have to, you know, well, we'll bring up a young guy and take a look and let him get his feet wet. And, you know, sometimes that entrance is difficult, and that's something you, there's no way to be a successful organization without having that, without living through that. And so what excites me about it is that I think there are times when the upper levels aren't stacked, when you're not bringing guys up, you're not having those debuts. And you realize how important it is as an organization to be able to bring up those players. Young players have upside, you know, young players have potential. And I think sometimes like those veteran guys, you know exactly what you're getting. But you know, you have to be willing to give the at bats to the young players, because that's really where the upside lies. And you know, I think Rossi and the coaching staff is totally on board with doing that.
I know we've kept you a while, Jed. One more thing, at least globally here. Baseball league-wide, sixth lowest on-base percentage in the last 120 years. 2022 statistics for OBP falls smack dab in the middle of the 1904 and 1905 season. That's probably not where the game is supposed to be.
Those were good years for the Cubs, though.
Yeah, good years for the Cubs.
Exactly.
I know pitching is great, and I know we've got a humidor situation. But what the hell's going on with the ball?
Yeah, it's really a challenging thing on a nightly basis to kind of change the way you have to think about what, you know, good offensive production is, what good pitching production is. You know, I always think to myself, and I don't remember the exact numbers. I should, but you know, we slugged over 500, I think, in 2003 as a team in Boston. And you know, this is you have to think that's a totally different era. And now all of a sudden, you fast forward now, and what is it, 305 or 306 is the league average on base, and you have to adjust that. And when you're, you know, you might be frustrated with a player who has numbers that are close to league average, and so you know, you have to constantly adjust, you know, what your expectations are, because that's what's happening around the league. And there's definitely been balls that you see that you think are gone. I mean, I think obviously the Frank Schwindel ball in San Diego being sort of the number one example, but I'm sure there's countless others that we've probably benefited from as well. And yeah, this is not traveling the same way. And, you know, I just hope, you know, either way we go, I just hope that we get to a place where the ball isn't a topic. You know,
yeah, that would be nice.
The ball was the number one topic in 2019 when, you know, every ball that went up in the air you thought was a home run, and the ball is a topic now when, you know, balls are getting crushed or are being caught at the fence. And I mean, candidly, I just don't want to talk about the ball. I just want to talk about the players and kind of know that we're playing neutral. And I think ultimately that's what we all want. Like, I don't think either extreme is good. Not thinking every ball that goes up in the air, or watching a guy, you know, kind of front foot a breaking ball out front of the plate and flick it over the fence, that's not in anyone's mind, that's not what a home run is. And at the same time, when a guy, you know, takes a perfect swing and barrels a ball and does it at the right longs angle and it doesn't go out, that's also not right. So let's hopefully get back to neutral, hopefully soon, and just have this not as a topic, because I don't think it really benefits anyone that people are spending time talking about it. But we should be talking about it, because it is a real issue.
Yeah. You know, you just got to get all the info from Theo with his connections in the commissioner's office. This is prime double agent time, Jed. Hopefully you're
That's
using
right.
that.
Exactly. But also, like, I mean, in truth, you know, like the 2019 ball was, it happens, you know, and then, like, you know, people put up some pretty crazy unexpected numbers that year, but then it changed right after. So it also makes it really difficult. You can't really make decisions, strategically based on the ball. Or evaluative based on the ball, because it is pretty likely to not be this way going forward. So, like I said, I hope this is a topic that's short-lived and we can move on to talking about other more interesting stuff.
All right, so what's our bet between Bears-Patriots Monday Night Football this year, Justin Fields against Mac Jones?
That's a pretty good matchup of young quarterbacks. I mean, obviously, listen, I have to go with the Bears. I've been living here longer than I lived in Boston at this point, so my loyalties have switched, and I'll go Bears.
Have you really? Your loyalties have switched?
Yeah. I've got three boys. It's not, you know, listen, I don't want to raise them, as the fans of where I grew up. I want to raise them as fans of, where we're living, and, you know, we definitely need to go to more Bears games, but I got them hooked this winter. We went to a ton of Bulls games. We had to lock out, so there was plenty of time, and I took the boys to a lot of Bulls games, and they love it. And that's what being a sports fan in probably the best sports city in the country is all about. So yeah, I don't want them to be raised based on my New Hampshire roots. They should be raised to root for a Chicago team.
Plus, you're leading them away from the evil empire and the cheating Bill Belichick and the snake oil salesman Robert
hey,
Kraft.
Yeah, yeah. Bill went to Wesleyan like I did, so you're not going to get me to go there.
Still there! That fandom's still in there.
Yeah,
man.
Why would you want your kids to experience things like winning and championships? And why would you want that?
Yeah, no cycles whatsoever. Yeah, no, it's they're an amazing organization, and I think we all can, every sports team can learn a lot about what they've done. But yeah, like I said, I got to raise the kids as Bears fans, and hopefully they'll all have one jerseys next year.
Jed, thanks for answering the call. We'll talk to you again soon. We appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.